Good morning and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 58. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, and feeling a bit sluggish today. Don't know why. It's just one of those days I'm not feeling real motivated to do a show, not really feeling motivated to do much of anything other than curl up under the blankets and sleep. And it's not particularly early in the morning as I record this, but it feels like it's early in the morning. We have this sort of weird, dark day outside. It's not snowing anymore. We had, I talked about this last week a little bit. We had a little cold snap there, and it seemed as though we've had the first of our real winter weather. But over the weekend, this weekend, it has warmed up significantly, and now it is actually in the 40s outside. And what that's meant, of course, is that all of the snow that we had, about 3 inches of snow on the ground and a bit of ice on the streets, is all gone. It's like spring out there. It's only a matter of time, of course, before the snow will return, because this is lake effect weather. Very typical. You know, you have these warm days, and then you have colder days, and eventually we'll settle into a real winter weather pattern, because we are getting very close to the winter solstice. But, of course, you know, Chicago is very much like Cleveland, and people always say, well, if you don't like the weather here in Chicago, wait 5 minutes, and it's going to change. And the shortest day of the year is just in a few days' time. And along with the winter solstice comes the winter holidays. We have Hanukkah going on right now. We have Kwanzaa coming up. And we have Christmas, of course, and New Year's. Don't really have plans for any of those. Like I said previously on the show, I really don't celebrate holidays. It's really not my thing. So there's really nothing going on as far as I'm going here. Hoping to be able to spend some time with Pete over Christmas, but that probably isn't going to happen because of things going on in his family, various events and things that he's expected to go to, though I rather suspect that he would rather not be going to them. We have New Year's coming, and New Year's I actually do have plans for, even though I'm not, I don't consider New Year's Eve really to be a holiday, or New Year's Day really to be a holiday, because it's kind of an arbitrary marking of a new year. I mean, I suppose people do celebrate that their crappy years are over. And what's going on New Year's Eve is that my best friend Paul, and you'll recognize the name because I've spoken about him often on this show, and he is actually the friend who I went and hiked the Hadrian's Wall Path with this summer. Anyway, Paul and his wife will be here in the States for the Christmas and New Year's holiday. They're coming from Finland to spend the holidays with Paul's sister in Rockford. And then on New Year's Eve, they're coming to Chicago, and they're going to be staying at a ritzy hotel in downtown Chicago. And Pete and I are going to go down and spend New Year's Eve with them, and that'll be fun. And that's kind of it. It's actually been a pretty good year for me this year. 2008 was really a bad year for everybody. Everybody around me. I mean, there were a lot of people who passed away, a lot of people lost their job, a lot of people this, a lot of people that. And so 2008 was really kind of this really dismal year. And for me, 2009 has been better. Though I did lose my job, we kind of saw that coming. So far, it has been better than 2008. But yeah, the bar there was pretty darn low, and I don't see any reason why, as any particular reason to celebrate 2009 either. Anyway, I have not heard anything back from the interviews that I talked about in the last show. That doesn't concern me overly much because the interview that I had was, in fact, on Thursday. And I'm assuming that the agencies are sending other people to the employer to talk, to interview for the position as well. So we'll see. I'm expecting, hopefully, a call today from the agency. We'll see because today is Monday. December, I think it's 14th today? Yeah, 14th today. And so I'm hoping to hear something back. It would be nice to actually be working again. Because I think that not working is actually kind of bad for the show. Back when I was working in Evanston, and I was up there, for a couple of years, and I would have time on my walk home to think about the show and to think about what I was going to do and all that. And that was sort of dedicated show time a lot of the time. once of course I decided that I was going to do a show. And that was where I came up with a lot of ideas. It's where I came up with a lot of the shows that I've done in the past. But being unemployed has made it more difficult to do the show because, you know, I don't spend a lot of time idle, you know, because I'm doing a lot of job hunting type stuff. And then when I'm not doing that, I have other things here that I can occupy my time with, and I don't have as much time to think about the show and do it. And I probably should. I do have more time to listen to shows, and of course I've been listening to a large number of podcasts. And once I start working, I may not be able to continue listening to all of them. Though for the moment, it seems okay. I don't feel like I'm spending an inordinate amount of time listening to shows. Monday seems to be the day when all of, you know, the new shows come out. And the live shows in particular. Speaking of live shows, I spoke last week about the new live Chris Reardon show. Yesterday, which was the 13th, I had the pleasure of participating in the very first live show put on by Mikey Holt from Grandham, England. And Mikey does a show called Completely Holt. And this is just starting up. It's kind of been in the works for a very long time. And I got to give you a plug, a cheap plug, as he said, because on his show yesterday, he not only allowed me to plug my show, but he also accidentally plugged my show, so I'm going to return the favor here. Now, Mikey is actually broadcasting on Ustream at the moment, and you can go to his Ustream channel, which is www.ustream.tv/completelyholt. So at the moment, he's broadcasting over Ustream, but that isn't where he's going to end up. So he asked me to go ahead and give you folks the web address for the updates so you can find out when and where he's going to be on. And this is actually a link to the Completely Holt Facebook page, but it is www.tinyurl.com/HoltFB. And that will take you to the Completely Holt Facebook page, and you can get all the updates on when he will be appearing and where. I believe he said that he was going to be doing a show on Wednesday evening, and that would be Wednesday afternoon in the U.S. And but anyway, kicked off the first inaugural episode of Completely Holt yesterday. And for a first go, I thought it went pretty well. He's a young lad, I think he's about 13, has the passion for it and has listened to enough radio that he, you know, has a pretty good idea of how it all works. And, it has interesting topics and, some interesting games. So, you know, congrats to Mikey for finally getting the ball rolling. I think he's due to start on, X109 Radio on the 6th of January, as I understand it. So that's my cheap plug for Mikey Holt's new show. Taking care of a little bit more podcast business here, I am, as I mentioned in the last episode, I am putting together an episode of Plain Dudes Radio on the topic of conspiracy theories. And I'm going to continue to plug this now and then, maybe not every show, but I am looking for audio files, mainly, talking about conspiracy theories. You know, what is a conspiracy theory? Why do people believe them? What do you think that they add or detract from our society? Your favorite conspiracy theories. And do you believe any conspiracy theories? And I'm going to accept emails as well. So if you don't feel comfortable doing an audio clip, feel free to send an email, and I'm going to try to work emails into this program as well. It's obviously still very much a work in progress, and it may take a while to put together. But as always, the email address to contact me, whether you want to submit something for Plain Dudes Radio or to submit to this show, because I always love hearing from people. Emails have been very quiet the last couple of weeks. I do like hearing from you, so please feel free to send along emails. The email address for the show. is tom@tomharrisusa.com. So quite some time ago now, and we're talking probably, you know, at this point about 30 episodes ago, I was talking about creationism, and I was talking about you know, people like Kent Hovind and Michael Behe and, you know, a bunch of these creation scientists, so-called, who are kind of trying to get biblical creation into our science classrooms. And I've talked about this a lot of time. And I mentioned something in the course of that discussion, talking about them, about their qualifications. And I mentioned that a lot of them have degrees, PhDs, master's degrees, from diploma mills. And I think I probably kind of glossed over what exactly a diploma mill is. Well, a diploma mill is it's a company that's set up in the guise of being a university. Typically, these are religious institutions, and they are not recognized by any kind of accrediting body. So they don't have a lot of credibility as far as schools go. And basically, the way they work is you submit to them your thesis, and I use that term very, very loosely, your doctoral thesis or your master's thesis or whatever. And you, you know, send them a check along with it. They approve it and they provide you with credentials. So in other words, it's not like a real college. You don't actually do any studying. You don't have any class time. Basically, you're buying a master's degree. You're buying a PhD. Well, something interesting happened this last week. For quite some time now, people have been trying to get a hold of the PhD thesis for Kent Hovind, who's one of the more prominent so-called creation scientists out there. This is a guy who was going around, he was going all around the country debating high school science teachers, basically, because nobody of any reputation would actually bother. Kent Hovind for a long time has been, you know, trumpeting his PhD. And something interesting happened this past week. Actually, probably now, a couple weeks ago. Somebody got a hold of Kent Hovind's PhD thesis. Now, this is very interesting because the university that issued his PhD is a diploma mill. And it's a school by the name of Patriot Bible University. Doesn't actually have a physical campus. There are no classes. There are no professors. This is kind of your standard diploma mill. And anyway, you know, most universities. Now, if you have a person with a PhD, say you have a PhD, and you've gone to school and you've spent, you know, 4 years, 6 years in a PhD program, and you're coming up with a thesis, and, you know, you have pretty rigorous controls over you. You have, you know, this, you know, adjudicating process, and you have, you know, to defend your thesis in order to actually be able to, you know, to get your degree. And of course, you know, getting it from a diploma mill is, you know, it's a pretty easy process. I mean, you send them your quote unquote thesis, and they issue you a diploma. You know, as long as you pay them the money that they, you know, they charge you to process this. Now, the way it works with most universities, now this would be a real university, a real school where you actually do have classes, you actually do have your paper adjudicated and so forth. You can go to most any of these colleges, a real college, and get copy of somebody's PhD thesis. If you doubt their credentials, you can, you know, request them. And you can actually look at their thesis. You can read their thesis. You can actually, you know, see it for yourself. Now, sometimes I think there's probably a charge, you know, because these things are used typically, you know, so they're 200, 300 pages at least. And so they, you know, they don't necessarily provide you with these theses for free, but you can get them. And most colleges are pretty forthcoming about, you know, saying, oh, sure, you know, if you want to look at the theses too. A lot of universities have them in a special section of the library. So if you actually go physically to the campus, you can go into that section of the library and read people's doctoral theses. It's not, you know, something that's all that unusual. But diploma mills typically keep those things under wraps for very good reason. And this situation with Kent Hovind's doctoral thesis really underscores why they do that. Because, as I said a couple of weeks ago, somebody got a hold of Kent Hovind's doctoral thesis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this thesis is comedy gold. This is 102 pages of failure. It's written at a third grade level. It does not contain any kind of citations. It does not have footnotes. It does not have endnotes. It does not have a bibliography. In other words, this so-called doctoral thesis would get an F if you wrote it as a high school term paper. Essentially, it reads like a transcript of Kent Hovind's spiel that he does in churches. When he goes to visit various churches, he talks about creation and evolution and the debate and so forth. This is the spiel that he gives. Basically, that is what this paper is. And this guy is claiming a PhD in philosophy based on this document. Now, unless you think I'm exaggerating, I actually have a copy of Kent Hovind's doctoral thesis, and I'm going to read part of this for you, and you tell me if you think that this is college-level scholarship. Incidentally, I've spent a lot of time poring over this document and looking for a thesis statement, and to be honest, there isn't one here. But this comes from page 102. This is near the end of the paper. If man has been here millions of years like evolutionists teach, where is the population? The whole population growth can be studied by anyone, and it will be found that the population of the Earth dates a young age for the Earth of 4,000 to 5,000 years, since the flood started with 8 people. All of the ancient writings that we have show a young age of the Earth. Why don't we have people writing about kings that lived 50,000 years ago? Why is it that all of recorded history happened in the last 4,000 years? These honest questions deserve an honest answer. I believe that we have been lied to about the age of the Earth. Okay, so just starting with that, just this tiny little snippet out of this 102-page paper. There are some major factual errors. There are some major spelling errors, which I didn't actually read. This whole thing is completely missed out. We have a sentence fragment here. this is not doctoral quality work. Clearly, from either a physical standpoint, as far as the structure of the paper, the writing, he's making some very bold assertions here about why don't we have any history before 4,000 years, which can be easily disproven by anybody with any kind of history education. Many of the assertions that he does make are demonstrably false. And in addition to that, there's no citations. He doesn't list any kind of research whatsoever. I mean, you can break it down. You know, if man has been here millions of years like evolutionists teach, where's the population? Well, duh, there's, 6.8 billion of us. I mean, there's the population. I love the sentence, since the flood started with 8 people. That's not even a real sentence. I would love to see a high school English teacher get a hold of this and correct it. I really would. And this guy is claiming a PhD in philosophy based on this paper. Amazing. Why is it that all of recorded history happened in the last 4,000 years? Well, I think that any historian with any kind of real education would tell you that recorded history actually goes back a lot farther than 4,000 years. The Chinese culture we have going back at least 8,000 years. Before that, we had, the pre-literate history, which goes back, you know, certainly a lot longer than that. So, what is the point? What is the point he's trying to make? That writing was invented roughly 4,000 years ago? You know, it's a ridiculous argument, and one that you know, obviously is completely unworthy of a PhD thesis. Here's another interesting quote. This one is from about halfway through. This is Ken Hovind talking about World War II. Hitler was an evolutionist, and it was the crazy doctrine of evolution that is fundamentally responsible for World War II. In Japan, the same thing was going on with the Shinto religion. This teaches that the Japanese people evolved from gods, and it was their destiny to rule the world. Japan and Germany got together, and we had an awful time in World War II. Okay, again, just amazing. It's amazing that anybody would even take this seriously. First of all, he's talking about Shinto, not even getting the name of the religion right, and somehow trying to turn this religion, which, you know, this is a religious-based idea that the Japanese people evolved from gods. Well, that's not even true. That's not what Shinto teaches at all. The Shinto teaches that the Japanese people are descended from gods. And they didn't evolve from gods. They descended from gods. So he's throwing the word evolution in here, or in the case, you know, the word evolved, to try to support his argument. But at the same time, it gets it completely factually wrong. Once again, is this college quality writing, much less doctoral thesis quality writing? You know, this dissertation is a complete joke. And Kent Hovind knows this. And Patriot Bible University knows this, and this is why they have kept this under wraps. They don't want to release this. Now, this leaked out. This was not, something that they released purposely. And it's because, you know, precisely because this is a waste of paper that, you know, isn't worthy even of a passing high school grade, much less a doctoral thesis. So you kind of wonder. And, you know, I think it's important that in these cases, that these things be pointed out. We need to point out the fact that, you know, most of these people have qualifications that are no better than this. And these diploma mills are, you know, enabling these people to put, you know, letters after their name that make people take them seriously. Because when somebody has a PhD, a real PhD, you know, this is something that is a mark of respect. People actually will take you more seriously if you have the letters MA after your name, or have the, you know, letters PhD after your name, because it implies that you've actually are somewhat knowledgeable, and that you are, you know, somewhat well studied. And in the case of these diploma mills, like Patriot Bible University, who are issuing, you know, a PhD based on this, you know, third grade level stuff that wouldn't even pass muster in a high school English class, you kind of wonder how secure these people are in the knowledge that they have. Work of this quality not only does not give them credibility, it undermines their credibility, and by extension undermines the message that they're trying to convey. This message that they are supporting of their biblical creation or whatever. If you're not able to support your assertion with fact, then you have to support it with lies. And that is the problem. I could do better than this. I could support the idea of creation better than Kent Hovind does in his doctoral dissertation. And that's a scary thought, because I don't even believe in this whole creation business. That they have to go to such lengths to falsify their credentials, to try to fool people into taking their ideas seriously. Obviously, these are ideas. They don't even hold up, by any standard. So I think this is really important. I'm glad that this document has leaked. And I'd be very interested in seeing some of the other doctoral dissertations that Patriot Bible University has issued. You know, some of them may even be fundamentally sound dissertations. There could actually be people who have PhDs who wrote a perfectly fine doctoral thesis. Well, I mean, I certainly have my doubts. I mean, if this is any indication of the sort of thing that they just kind of, you know, rubber stamp, then I would certainly have doubts about a school. I use the word school loosely, like Patriot Bible University. You know, what other stuff is out there? What other people are out there using the letters PhD after their name and they haven't done any work? It's a scary thought. And, you know, before people start buying into the apologists and buying into the things that they're saying, I think that, you know, people really owe it to themselves to go and look at the people's, their qualifications and at least get, you know, some satisfaction in finding out whether or not these people have any knowledge of the topic they're talking about. And clearly in the sense of Kent Hovind here, in this example, he really doesn't have a very clear grasp of what the actual facts of the matter are. And it's clearly evident from reading his paper. I mean, you certainly have a lot of people out there who are not qualified, and this is well documented, and this isn't just in creation science, but in a lot of the more controversial fields. And you have these, the people who, for example, are, the global warming skeptics, for example. A lot of these people have no clue about, what the science is. You know, they're against it for political reasons. They don't really care about it from scientific reasons. And I've noticed that a lot of the people who speak out against, you know, the idea of, you know, global climate change, actually can't differentiate between weather and climate. Which is a pretty important distinction that you can't make. But, you know, it's easier to dumb it down because you want the meme to be picked up by the general public and then repeated and repeated and repeated. And it does your movement or their movement a disservice if you can't support your arguments using scientific means or using rational means or whatever. And that's true for Kent Hovind. It's true for the climate deniers. It's true for all these people. If you can't actually, you know, provide us with evidence to support your argument, then you're not making your argument. You're just kind of screaming and trying to scream louder than the next guy. And that's not good for scientific inquiry. That's really not the way to approach this. And it's amazing that anyone takes seriously. And I would point out to anybody who is trying to tear down evolution or trying to tear down the idea of climate change that it's not enough to try to poke holes in the theory. You need to actually prove your case. Because just because something has a problem doesn't mean that problem will not be explained later. Because data is constantly emerging. And in the case of the fossil record, oh, there's a gap in the fossil record. That doesn't mean that gap is always going to be there. You know, and just because there isn't that data to fill that gap right now doesn't invalidate the entire idea. And this is this all too literal approach that a lot of people take to evolution, and they also take that approach to global climate change. We have a lot of evidence both ways. We have a lot of evidence of evolution, obviously, because there are virtually no working scientists who disagree with evolution. Evolution has occurred. That is a proven fact. The mechanism of evolution, however, is not completely understood. We don't understand how evolution happened as well as we understand that evolution did happen. And, you know, you can be a Ken Hovind and just say no, 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 and put your fingers in your ears and refuse to see the evidence, or refuse to hear the evidence, or you can actually try to come up with an alternative that fits the data. And so far, we haven't seen that. We don't see anything like that coming from the creationists. So, I guess that's my point. And with that, I'm out of time. So I'm just gonna go ahead and give the email address again. If you want to email the show, it's tom@tomharrisusa.com. So, from Chicago, Illinois, have a great afternoon, and I'll see you next time.